Kind of hard to get up and get up here quick when you got a 25-pound rug rat in your lap. Good evening. I hope you've all had a wonderful day. It's been a beautiful day indeed. Certainly a great day to be a child of God. I don't know about you, but it amazes me to stop and think about all the things that we have going on here at Woodland Oaks, especially this summer. I have said to several people over the last couple of weeks, I think this is our fourth summer here, and this has by far been the busiest one, with just activity after activity and gathering after gathering. And tonight I want to take a few minutes to share some information about one of the things that we have done this summer with BASIC. For those of you that may be visiting, BASIC is the name of our youth ministry. It stands for Believers and Servants in Christ. And we base that idea off of Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is God's power to salvation for those who believe, to the Jew first and also for the Greek. Before we do that, though, I do have one announcement that I've been asked to make. Among all the activities that are taking place and trips that are going on, we have a group of people from Woodland Oaks who are going to Cambodia here within the next few days, correct? And Danielle Welburn has asked for any of our kids who are VBS age, if you are interested in coming down front right here after services tonight, we're going to video us singing about four songs that she is going to take with them to Cambodia to show the kids there, to let them hear the songs, but also teach them how to sing them. Hand motions and everything. So if you're interested in doing that, parents, if you have a few minutes to let your kids join us for that, well, let's just say right down here. I think the video camera will pick us up better here. But as soon as services are over, come down this way. When I first came in 2005, we took a mission trip, the first trip to Lima, Peru. And God has blessed that work in that it has moved beyond the youth group trip to a congregational trip. We have several people from here who have gone that I believe this will be the fourth year that they've gone. And some of our teenagers who were on that first trip, they're going back for the third and fourth times. For the fourth time, some of them for the third time because they went for the second year. But this year was the first year that we have done a mission trip for various reasons since then. And I think some of the kids were a little bit nervous about it. Some of them were excited about it because it was new territory in many different regards. For me, this was the first time that I had planned a trip from beginning to end. We were headed, as you see, to Kingsville, Texas, which is down in Corpus Christi area, about 45 minutes or so away. And the group that went with us, most of them had never been on a mission trip before of any sort. Not to mention the fact we were going to a place that we had never been in Kingsville, to a congregation we'd never met. I'll show you a little bit later. We did have some family contacts from here. The Osbornes have some family down there who served as our contacts at Kingsville. But in the end, it proved to be, I think, one of the most fulfilling trips that a lot of these kids have had. And I know for me, it was very much a fulfilling trip. And I'd like to share some of that with you just for a few minutes tonight. You can see this is our crew that went down with us. This was pre-haircut. You see Cody Powers going from, I guess it's your left to right. Cody Powers, Parker Layton, Matt Tisdale, Victoria Roth, Lindsay Acock, myself, Ashley Purvis, Ashley Acock, and Lauren Neely. Not pictured up here were James and Rebecca Osborne. Because they have family, they had actually gone down a couple of days early ahead of us to spend time with them. But they also joined us on this trip. Grand total, we had, if I remember correctly and can count, we had 11 of us that went down. And our main objective was to conduct a VBS. We took down a lot of the things that we had with us when we performed our VBS here or conducted our VBS here just 2 weeks prior to this trip. And the interesting thing about this is that Kingsville has not had a multiple-day VBS in somewhere around a decade prior to our going down In the past couple of years, they've had some ladies who have worked to maybe put on a one day or a one evening activity for the kids, but it's been pretty much solely, if I understood right, solely for the kids who are just members in that congregation. But they've not had a multiple day VBS in about 8 or 10 years. And so this was an adventure for them as well. When we first touched base with them, they didn't know what to expect. I'm not going to lie, we didn't know what to expect. And you can see here that this is the Kingsville building. This congregation has seating for about 600 people. However, at this point in time, their numbers have fallen to between 100 and 150. So a little congregation in an area of Texas that is, for the most part, a lower income area. There were parts of Kingsville just in the immediate area around the church building that would have reminded you a lot of some downtown areas of Houston. There are some folks who were there who are more prominent, who are of a higher middle to upper income status. There are really two main areas or two main jobs to have there in Kingsville. One is the university, Texas A&M Kingsville, which I believe there were a couple of members at the Kingsville Church who have jobs there. But probably the one that's above that is that there is a U.S. Naval Air Base that is a training facility for new recruits who come in and who want to be pilots. They pilot the T-45 Goshawks, which I'll show you a picture of one of those here in a little bit. We were blessed with an opportunity to get to tour the base while we were there. And there you have it. That's Kingsville. Not a whole lot to it. But you can see they have what they call a family life center across the street that coincidentally they told me that they've been trying to sell it for a while because their numbers are just so low that it's almost becoming a burden to to keep it up. However, they've had a hard time doing that. But the way our trip went is we got there on Monday afternoon. After most of us had spent the weekend at family camp, got there Monday afternoon, and in one afternoon, in a period of about 4 to 5 hours, we set up the entire VBS. You can see right here, we had the border fence that was around here. We set up a lot of that inside the gymnasium area. We practiced our skits. We did three days there. Those of you that were here with our VBS will remember that we had the theme, God's Big Backyard. And we talked about the fact, we talked about the stories of serving our friends, which was the story of Jesus healing the paralytic. We talked about serving our neighbors, the story of Jesus, or of the Good Samaritan, rather. And finally, on the third night, we actually handed that script to the Kingsville youth. They have about 10 teenagers there, maybe about 4 or 5 of them that are, you could say, active, that come on a regular basis and do a couple of things together every now and then. We handed off our last script to them, which was the story of Peter and John healing the lame man at the temple gates. And they had a good time. From what I gathered, talking with Ted Murray, the deacon, in our contact, he said that that was something that proved to be very good for them because it gave them an opportunity to step up and do something that they normally would not have done. So you can see we had a little bit of setup time. But before we ever got started on the VBS, on Tuesday and Wednesday both, I had talked to Ted beforehand. I said, Ted, you know, we're doing a nighttime VBS. We need to make sure that we're doing something else throughout the day. We don't need to be sitting around all day long with nothing to do. And I said, can you help us come up with some service projects? And he said, absolutely. And as we got to going, this was Tuesday. The gentleman in the top left-hand corner with the white hat standing with James and Matt, his name's Clyde. His wife is on this top corner. She's the gray-haired lady back over Ted's shoulder. Her name's Genevieve. This couple is a sweet couple. Have a pretty good, pretty nice-sized little lot there that had overgrown in some places, and he needed a tree cut down and some things like that, small tree, dead tree. And so a couple of us worked on that. Others, they had a swing that she wanted painted, so they repainted the swing and just did some things along those lines. But what really put this couple in need is that both of them within the last month prior to our coming had hospitalizations. Genevieve had actually had a bypass surgery, and Clyde had been in the hospital for something else. I don't recall exactly what, even just the couple of weeks prior to our coming. So they were both still recovering from that, had not had time to touch their yard all summer long. And so it was a great opportunity for us to do some work for them. The guy in a cowboy hat right there, that's Ted Murray. This is Patricia Osborne's brother-in-law, his wife Jan being Patricia's sister. Ted is the deacon of over youth there, and he and his wife Jan have been our contacts since we started trying to plan this trip out. But you can see, certainly by the end of the day, we were out there from the morning to a little after lunchtime, and you can see as Ashley is snoozing in the tree, it was a nice hard day of work. These kids have worked very, very hard, and I hope you'll see that through some of these pictures as we go through. The next day, we went to, this was Wednesday morning, we went to a house of a lady named Linda Cave. And you see Linda sitting right there in the multicolored shirt. Linda had been in a scenario, has had the situation, she's also been sick. For the last couple of months, she has battled off and on, she's had a bout with pneumonia that she couldn't kick. And actually, the day before we went, she had gone to the hospital for some tests, and they took some x-rays or an MRI, something, and they found some spots on her lungs that worried them. They didn't know if it was the, a result of some of the pneumonia. They didn't know if perhaps it could have even been cancer. I have not been able to get in touch with them to find out how those test results went, but I know several of these kids, since coming back, have requested in class that we remember Linda Cave. And I think on this particular day, these kids learned, some of them learned what it means to step up and do some work for somebody who's in need. Because she just couldn't say enough kind things at the end of the day. And she had a lot of yard work to do. As you can see, she had some overgrowth that we were dealing with. James and I are up here. She had a tree that had the limbs about to fall over. It, you know, the bottom half was so dead. So we were sawing at limbs, and Parker and Matt had their discussion on how to work a blower. I don't know who was right, but they got it accomplished. And you know, believe it or not, sometimes you look at certain teenagers and you wonder, you know, is that person really capable of doing a lot of work, you know, because I don't see them working around a whole lot, and I've got proof for you that we did get all of them working. You know, you see Ashley Purvis up there and Lauren Neely. We even got her to mow, and when she was talking to her dad at one point that day, and she said, "Dad, I got to call you back. I'm mowing." He said, "You're doing what?" She said, "I'm mowing the grass." He said, "Well, I'll just leave our yard alone till you get home then." But they had a good time. And they did well, like we said. And those were our two service projects that we carried on Tuesday and Wednesday. But our VBS was a nighttime VBS, a little bit different. So we had to adjust from what we're accustomed to here. And you can see this was taken, I believe this one was probably taken on Wednesday. We had did Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and Thursday night for those. This was a spot they had up over at the top of the building that you could look down. Grand total, we had about 28 kids who came to this VBS. The first night, I have to admit, I think several of us were a little bit discouraged because in our planning conversations, the estimation was upwards between 50 and 75. And we get there, and the first night, we had 26. And we had to stop and remind ourselves that, you know, here at Woodland Oaks, we have a very well-oiled machine when it comes to VBS. And the people in the Woodlands as a whole understand the concept behind a VBS. They understand what's involved with it. Whereas we were going to a place that very rarely sees a VBS. There are a couple of other churches within the area that do them, but it's not as big of an ordeal as it is here in the Woodlands. But on the Tuesday and Wednesday, both days, when we got done with our service projects, we had printed up some little flyers, And we actually went to a couple of different places around town. And these kids stood around and they passed out flyers inviting people. And I know for certain there was one lady whose child came one night as a direct result of us handing out those flyers. And the great part about it is that it was the kids who did it, who did the inviting. We had some couple of different organizations. At one point, we found a Boys and Girls Club that was had some kids outside playing ball, so we handed a stack of them to them. There's even a local pool that we found where the people let us step inside and walk around real quick and hand out a flyer to all the parents who were inside. And you talk about breaking down some barriers for some of these kids. It's tough enough to meet a new teenager, much less step outside of your comfort zone and hand out a flyer, even if it's just saying, hey, we're doing a VBS for the next 3 nights just right up the road here. We'd love to have you and your kids come. Sometimes that's even tougher. And they stepped up to the challenge and they did it. Our VBS consisted of, in those 3 nights, we had a handful of different classes and different things that they did. This right here is the opening session, very much like what we do here. We spent time singing some songs and saw the skit. This was the Good Samaritan, where the Samaritan has now put the beat-up man on his donkey. I had a better picture for the donkey mask, but I figured we'd just stick one in there. And so they got to see the stories. And the thing was is that for a lot of these kids, they'd never heard these stories before. I meant to mention that of the 28 who were registered coming, half of them were not from the congregation. They were from the community. And many of them don't go to church anywhere. And they were coming as a result of the flyers or as a result of their friends inviting them and whatnot. When they moved on from there, like here, we had Cooper's Doghouse where you could see the kids just enthralled with the puppets. I asked several of the classes as they came through, and multiple times I caught statements of Cooper's Doghouse, that's my favorite, I love the puppets, you know. So they had a blast with that. You can see Victoria and Parker there interacting with the kids. From there, they moved on to a craft. And I have to admit, I was very, very proud of these kids and all of these aspects. Rebecca Osborne was the one in charge of Cooper's Doghouse. But when it came to the crafts, because we only had two Woodland Oaks chaperones that went along with this, I had to assign that to the teenagers and say, you're the one in charge of this. And we helped them figure out, here are the crafts you're doing, here are the supplies for it. But Ashley Acock and Cody Powers, and I didn't get a picture with Lindsay, but Lindsay Acock, the three of them were in there, and they had two or three of the other Kingsville kids who helped them out, and they ran with the crafts all week long. It was their baby, and they did an outstanding job. The kids came away with a lot of neat things to be able to take home and help them remember this week. From there, they went outside, played games. We gave this one to Matt Tisdale and Ashley Purvis, who had spearheaded that here this year, and did a great job. You can see the kids had a blast playing with them, and it gave them a good time to get some of that energy out from after they'd sat for a little bit. But one thing that we did a little bit different with Kingsville that we don't do here is that at one point we sat them down. Every day I sat down with each group. Because of the fact that they don't have a VBS, most of these kids don't know our VBS songs. They know very, very few, just even within the Kingsville kids that are there. So we sat down every night and we had one of our sessions that we taught them different songs. Practice several different VBS songs. One of the groups, the fifth and sixth grade group, was actually showing a lot of interest in like the youth group devotional songs. And so after the first night when we picked up on that, we said, okay, here we'll make a deal with you. You step out here and you practice two VBS songs with us so that you can help the younger kids when we sing them in our opening and closing sessions. And I'll spend the rest of the time and we'll teach you some of the older teenage songs. And they said, yeah, let's do that. That's great. And they had an absolute blast. Mixed in with that group were a couple of the seventh graders from Kingsville that an executive decision had been made to put them in with that group. And so it really helped them out a lot and gave them an opportunity to really get involved with it. Thursday night was a fun night. Because as you know, here we do our hot dog supper at the end of the week and all that, and we have a little program. Well, because of the way that the week had gone and the way that the community works, we figured out that didn't seem to fit the format of the community. So what we did is we had our hot dog supper. We invited everybody to come, parents and everybody, and we told them, said, when you get done here, we're going to have you rotate around with all of your kids, and you're going to get to experience firsthand what they got to experience. And so as we did that last night, they sat in there with us as we sang the songs in the opening and closing sessions. They rotated around. And you see the one mom had the hula hoop stuck on her neck. And, you know, they jumped in, made the crafts with the kids. They learned the VBS songs with us. And I want to tell you about this couple right here on the right-hand side. The lady, and I can't remember her name, unfortunately. I didn't get a whole lot of time to talk with her. Is a former co-worker with Jan Murray, who I've already mentioned tonight. And Jan, when this lady first walked in, they kind of made eye contact. Whoa, haven't seen you in a long time. She says, yeah, I didn't know you go to church. Yeah, well, yeah, y'all enjoy the night. And this couple in particular had a blast. He was up with a video camera. I think I saw him with a video camera in just about every room they went into. And you can see they enjoyed cutting up with everyone. But at the end of the night, of Thursday night, Jan was sitting around talking to this lady. And Jan said, well, what do you think? She said, I got to tell you, Jan, this is awesome. She said, and I think this right here, this has shown me tonight that we have got to get our kids involved in doing something like this. Her exact words were, I have been a heathen for too long. But this lady wasn't the only one who said that. There were a couple of families who made comments like that this is just really good for our kids. We really need to get involved in church. And I remember one story in particular. One mom had to take her son on Thursday over to Corpus. He had a doctor's appointment of some sort, which, like I said before, it's about a 45-minute drive. And while they were there, as they got done with the doctor's appointment, it was getting a little bit later in the afternoon, and she said, hey, do you just want to, let's just stay here in Corpus tonight, let's go get something to eat and just kind of make a family night out of it. He said, no, Mom, we have to get back for church. And she said, but we're here, you know, we can enjoy this. No, Mom, we've got to get back. They're serving hot dogs and you're coming with me. And they drove all the way back from Corpus because he was insistent that they be there for that last night of VBS. And several of the kids, as well as myself, got comments, several of our teens, and we got comments as that last night came to a close. And it wasn't from parents. We got some from parents, but a lot of these little kids were coming up to us and say, when y'all come back next year, I'm coming again, and I'm going to bring my friends with me too. And you know, folks, I got to tell you, it's one of those things where sometimes you wonder what kind of an impact you're making. And I told you before, our thinking is that we were planning for anywhere from 50 to 75 kids, and for different reasons, it didn't work out. I think part of it was the time. When we got there, we found out that their community was right smack in the middle of Baseball All-Stars, which took away about half the kids from the Kingsville congregation. So, you know, different factors were involved. But even though we had 28 kids and no more than that, having 14 of them from the community and from kids who don't even go to church anywhere, having three parents say by the end of the night, you know, we really need to get our kids involved in this, and having a group of little ones running up to you and say, hey, when you come back next year, we're going to be here and we're going to bring everybody with us. You know you've done some good work. You know you've walked away doing some great things. At the end of the week, as I said, this was Thursday morning. One of the things that always has fascinated me about being able to go to different places is learning about what makes that community tick, what makes them run. And Ted is actually a flight instructor there at the air base in Kingsville, and has been doing that. He's been stationed there for about 8 or 10 years, which is extremely long. Pretty long compared to for the time that most people serve there. And he told me at the end of the week, he said, Corey, he said, you know, I've wondered and I've asked God for several years now, why have I been here so long? because it's not normal. And watching the day-to-day or week-to-week changes in their congregation, he says, it made me ask even more. Why am I here? Why are we being asked to hang around this long? He said, Corey, I think our two groups meeting may be the reason, or at least one of the reasons, why we've been here as long as we have. And they've asked us to come back again, but you can see Ted's going over all the, explaining to us the T-45 Goshawks, and this is one of them down in the bottom left hand. He gets up just about every day, or at least multiple times a week, flies these things around. One of the neat things, you can see James up in the top corner there, they actually let us step into the simulator. And all of us got to take a turn for about 4 or 5 minutes flying that thing around. It was like flying over Google Earth, you know, if you know what I'm talking about. So that was a neat experience that the kids have gotten to take away with them. In the end, though, you can see we came home. It was a long week, a long 5 days. But it was a very profitable 5 days. And we are making plans to hopefully go back next year. I think we may try to alter the date a little bit and come in more in July, second week of July perhaps. But parents, those of you who have high schoolers or kids who will be in high school coming out of junior high, keep this in mind. This is certainly one of those things that our prayers that it will be a consistent year-by-year contact, that we will build a relationship with this congregation and hopefully be a good catalyst for them to help reignite some fires within the members that are there. If you have any other questions or whatnot, I can tell you, you can go to our website down here. It's woodlandoaks.org/basic. You can go to our photo album. I've got all the photos from the entire week. At the end of the week, we drove over to Corpus and spent the last day there just kicking back. They worked very, very hard, and I thought they were very deserving of a day just to kind of kick back. We spent a little bit of time at the aquarium that day and the Texas Aquarium, and then we were blessed with an opportunity to go to a minor league baseball game, which was a new experience for most of them. But before we move on, constantly I have people coming up asking me, hey, Corey, what are you doing? Do you need help? If you ever need help, by all means, let me know. And when I get the statements like that, it's kind of hard for me to think just immediately off the top of my head, well, here's what we've got coming up immediately. Folks, I just want to let you know, we do have a lot going on with our youth group and our youth ministry. And if you are interested in helping at all, please come ask me, especially if there's a specific type of activity you would like to help with, that's great. These are just a couple of things that we've got coming up real soon. August 10th, I'm still looking for a junior high sponsor for the devotional. That basically means you help provide food for that night. I will take care of getting the young men to lead the devotional, but that can be done here. It can be done at your home. We've done them in several different places. But also on the 21st to the 23rd, it's a Thursday through Saturday, we are going to Camp Hensel up in Marble Falls for our summer retreat. Same place we go for our winter retreat every year. We were blessed with an opportunity to get there this summer. And this year's focus for this summer retreat is going to be preparing these kids to get back to school. It's a nice last weekend to kind of get away and kick back a little bit, but in our devotionals and the things that we have, we're going to be talking about prepping ourselves to face the challenges and the pressures and whatever else that they're going to experience come that Monday morning. And so if you're interested in helping out with that as just being a sponsor or chaperone, I put coordinators. I'd like to have some folks to help me plan out games and that kind of stuff. So, that's why I put that in quotes. But if you're interested in doing that, come talk to me. Or anything else, you just want to know a little bit more about what we do and what we do on a regular basis, you can go to our website. Jesus, we see this story in Matthew chapter 18. And at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and they said, Jesus, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And calling a child to him, he put him in the middle of him and he said, truly I say to you, unless you turn and you become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Around this time of year, I like to, with all the VBSs and whatever else that we're a part of, it's a great time to reflect on the lives of children. And especially having one in my life now, you know, it gives me even more reason to do so. And I find it interesting. I find it very interesting that when somebody comes along to Christ, and these disciples, they're asking him, who's top notch for you, Christ? Jesus, who's the best of the best? And those of you that have sat in on Brother Elton's class, and maybe you've heard the discussion of the theory that maybe the disciples were about 15, 17 years old. To me, if I put that picture in and I get a group of teenagers coming up to Jesus saying, "Hey, Jesus, you see us? We're the football stars around here. Are we the best?" "Wait a minute, Jesus. We're the academic scholars over here. We get straight A's all the time. So are we the best? Who gets the greatest credit in your kingdom?" And he reaches over and he calls a little child. One account of this says that the children were trying to come to Jesus and the disciples kept trying to push them away, said, "No, don't bother him. He's a busy man." And I can see teenagers doing that. Get away. And he said, "Don't you stop him." Because he said, if you want to be great in my kingdom, if you want to be up there and have people recognize you, so to speak, you need to become like one of these children. You need to be childlike. And that phrase has always given me something to think about. I try to think, what then does Jesus see within a child? What characteristics do children have that are so important that Jesus would tell us as teenagers, as adults who have already been through that stage in life, say, you need to go back and you need to relearn these characteristics. What are they? And I think the first one that we need to understand and think about is that we have to love like a child. In John chapter 8, verse 34, or 13 rather, verse 34, you see the statement, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, so you also ought to love one another." Children follow this commandment with such a strong passion, and it blows my mind to see the intensity of love that a child can have, especially for family and for their parents, for brothers and sisters. And you can't describe it, really. You can feel it. Those of you that have had a child run up to you and wrap their arms around your neck as you pick them up, and to hear them say, "I love you, Daddy," or "I love you, Mommy," you know what I'm talking about. And it's sad to me to think that children, that most children who can't even read, have mastered this concept of loving other people better than those of us who've had it memorized for years. Perhaps it's time for us, folks, to observe our children closely and figure out what it means to love. Because Christ has said, unless you love like a little child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Secondly, I think we can see forgiveness. We must forgive like a child. I am the oldest of three siblings. There's 4 years difference between me and my brother, and then four between my brother and sister. And I remember growing up between my brother and I, and then watching Lincoln and Melissa go, and I've seen several, countless other siblings do this where one of them has a toy and they're wanting to play with it, and then all of a sudden the sibling comes over and yanks it away, and if you're in the other room, you hear this, "Mine, I had it first, she's touching me." You know all the statements. And you go in there and you have to grab them both by the shirt collars and pull them out. And, you know, if you're a big dad, I've seen times where dads have come out with a kid in each arm, you know, carrying them out. And he says, you sit there, don't do anything. And they get upset about whatever it is that they're fighting over. But, you know, 5-10 minutes later, they've forgotten it. They're jumping out of those seats and they're playing along, and they're, especially little kids, they're playing as though it never happened. They don't hold the grudge over that toy. And, you know, folks, sometimes it saddens me a lot that many of us get hurt about something and we hold a grudge for years against somebody who hurt our feelings or who did whatever. And you may, you know, we look at them and say, well, you know, Corey, you got to stop and think about that. Now, you got a 3-year-old over here fighting over a toy. That's nowhere near as important as my dilemma and the argument that we had over here. Well, you know, you may say that, but folks, one thing that I've thought about is, to that 3-year-old, that toy is the most important thing in the world. And maybe they don't understand the relationships and hurting each other's feelings. They don't understand that. Sure, that's fine. I understand that. But it's the most important thing in the world for them to have that toy at that moment in time. Just like many of the things we get upset about are the most important things to us in the world at that point in time. And I think we've got a lot to learn from kids about forgiving. Letting go of things that seem important, and not to say that they're not, but in the grand scheme of things, it's not worth losing a friend over. Because unless we forgive like a child, we will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. But I think Jesus also says that we must have faith like a child. I know in the past I've talked to you about the congregation I grew up in, West Huntsville. They had the stage three feet up, watching the kids take their time, but, you know, they're trying to decide whether or not they want to jump off that stage into their parents' arms. And they go back and forth and back and forth, and finally they just get just enough gumption that they just run out there and they leap, knowing that dad's going to catch them. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13, we see a story of a centurion who came to Christ. He said, Jesus, I've got a servant back here who's real sick, and I know you can heal him. Jesus said, I'll heal him. Yeah, let's go. I'll go with you. He said, well, wait a minute. Jesus said, I'm not worthy to have you come into my house. You see, I understand what it means to have people underneath and have people do what you say to do, because I tell a guy, go over there, and he goes over there, and I tell this other guy, you come here, and he comes over here. He said, but Jesus, I know that if you just say the word, my servant whom I love dearly will be healed. And Jesus steps back and he says, I tell you, folks, I've not even seen this much faith among Israelites, among the Jews. He says, go on. Your servant's been healed. We need to learn to trust God, to have faith in Him. There's a story that's told about a young boy who, in the middle of the night, there was a storm raging outside, and he woke up from the thunder and the lightning, and he started screaming, Dad, Dad, where are you? Dad, come here! And so Dad rushes into the room, and he says, okay, son, I'm here, it's okay. And after the boy had been calmed by the presence of his father, he got down on the ground, and he knelt down beside his dad on the bed, and he folded his hands, and he bowed his head, and he said, Dear God, help me be more like my daddy so that I won't be afraid of the storm. And he crawled back in bed and he went to sleep. And you know, this dad, being the big tough man who has all the answers and who's always there and is the steady rock, was touched by this and got up to leave, but he just couldn't. Knelt back down beside his sleeping son, and he folded his hands and he bowed his head. And he said, God, help me be more like my son so that I will learn to trust you more in the storms. We need to learn to trust and have faith like a child, or we will not enter the kingdom of heaven. But finally, we must have the innocence of a child. It's such a pure feeling to hold a newborn. And I think most of us in this room have probably been there. Knowing that there's no spot on this child's soul. There's no stain to ruin them in the eyes of God. And I think sometimes we crave that again. Because we know we had it at one point in time, especially when we find ourselves making a mistake that we've made over and over and over and over again. We find ourselves just pleading and at a loss and imagining in our minds, what would it be like if I could be like a child again? And not have to worry about this and be as innocent as a child. You know, the great thing about the blood of Christ is that God says you can be innocent like a child again. One of my favorite verses is Jude 24. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy. Think about the fact that every mistake you've ever made, every bad thought that went through your head, every wrong step that you took, when we have the blood of Christ covering us, God looks down and He sees absolute, total perfection. Folks, you can't buy that. You can't earn it. You can't do it for yourself. But God gives it to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And it is a great day when we finally realize and come to the knowledge that we are covered by Christ. And so tonight as we wrap up, think about this. Unless you love like a child, unless you forgive like a child, unless you have faith like a child, and unless you have the innocence of a child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Can God call you a child? If not, if you need to have those sins washed away to gain that innocence, He's provided a path for us to Christ. And He says, if you will obey the gospel, if you will confess your sins, repent of those sins, and be immersed into water, you will arise a new child, My child, ready to walk in newness of life. Do you need to make that step tonight? Have you become a child of God, but maybe throughout all the cares of the world, you've allowed things to cloud your judgment, cloud your focus? Do you need to come back and be that new child again? We're here to pray with you and for you. And God is calling to all who need to respond to His invitation. And we offer that now as well while we stand and sing.
We have a lot of visitors with us tonight, and we appreciate you being here. I hope that you realize that this congregation has a lot of things going on.